Welcome to episode 55 of Kneel Before Odd. I'm Audrey Kearns, your host, and thanks for listening wherever and whenever you are. I talked with actor Tamsin McDonough for this episode. For the last three seasons of the sci-fi hit Killjoys, Tamsin has voiced Lucy, the super awesome AI of the spacecraft that carries Dutch, Davin, and John on their adventures throughout the quad. When we were scheduling this interview, Tamsin said, let's do it on National I Love Lucy Day. And that was such a great idea that that's exactly what we did. Of course, I talk a lot with Tamsin about Killjoys, how she got the role as Lucy, how she's developed the character over the last three seasons, and all the wonderful fan love that the show has created. Tamsin was incredibly gracious and friendly, and I know you'll enjoy this interview with her. Don't forget to check out geekgirlauthority.com for all your pop and geek culture news. I am lucky to have a talented group of contributors on the site, and I know you'd love their work. Also, head on over to iTunes or Blog Talk Radio to give Kneel Before Odd a rating and review if you are so inclined. I'd be ever so grateful for your support of this podcast. All right, for now, enjoy your walk, your workout, your commute, your cleaning, whatever you're doing as you listen to episode 55 of Kneel Before Odd with my guest, Tamsin McDonough.
Internet, heed this call. Open your minds and ears and prepare yourselves to kneel before Odd.
Hi, and welcome to a new episode of Kneel Before Odd. I'm your host, Audrey Kearns, and today is October 15th, which is National I Love Lucy Day. So my guest and I thought it would be perfect day for an interview. I have with me actor Tamsin McDonough, and for the past three seasons of the hit sci-fi series Killjoys, Tamsin has voiced Lucy. Lucy is the AI of the ship that carries Dutch, Davin, and Johnny on their adventures throughout the quad. She's an integral part of the crew and can even be heard crushing on Johnny every once in a while. Welcome and happy I Love Lucy Day, Tamsin.
Thank you so much. I'm just surprised it's not like a major holiday, like a bank holiday.
Me too. You know? It's like very important.
Tomorrow everyone should have off. You know, right?
We should
holiday Monday for I Love Lucy Day.
It's a bank holiday.
Exactly.
Congrats on the pickup on two more seasons of Killjoys.
Yes, thank you.
Wow, that's really exciting.
We're all very excited.
Were you, so I know you guys were probably on pins and needles waiting to hear if you got another season pickup. Were you surprised that it was two more seasons?
Yeah, just because I'd never really heard of that too much before.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like I'm really in the know, and so it's not really surprising, but I just never really heard of that and giving it a very, I know there's been sort of negative and positive on this. There's negative and that, they know that that's, everybody knows that's all we're getting is just 20 more.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a big positive on that, that you know there's 20 more. You can very specifically work a wonderful story that ends hopefully satisfying everybody on the very last episode instead of, you know, sometimes being canceled.
Yeah.
Like poor Dark Matter, who,
That
was really, really unfortunate.
Yeah, they ended on such a cliffhanger,
and
too.
Yeah, it was a giant cliffhanger.
Oh my God.
Very unsatisfying for everybody. You know, to even buy the DVD or whatever it is, you know, it's hard for people. So I take the positive and the negative on that, you know, that yes, there's only 20 more, but there's 20 more.
There's 20 more. And I actually think of it as a big gift to the writers because now they get to know what the end is going to be. So it's almost like every single one of those 20 episodes is going to be important and it's going to be precious and it's going to lead to the end of the show. So I'm really excited for you guys. That's awesome.
Yes, we're very excited.
Of course. So I start all of my podcasts by asking one question of everybody, and that is, what is your nerd origin story? What are you geeky about? So Tamsin, what's your nerd origin story?
Right, I would love to have a really great story, but unfortunately, I don't think I do.
Are you geeky about anything?
Like, oh, God, yeah. Oh, my gosh. I mean, sadly so. But, I mean, sort of what I was trying to, go back and kind of have a think on was I do remember one of the, we used to live on Vancouver Island, and the area that we lived in was very, very quiet and, you know, piles of room. And it was basically the type of neighborhood where, you know, especially during the summer, your parents would just open the door, kick all of their five children out the door, lock behind us and say, come back if it's gushing or if when you're hungry.
Oh, yes.
So, so we were out. All the time. We had our dogs, we had our bikes, we had our tree forts, you know.
Oh, that sounds so nice.
It was. It was. And we took our Band-Aids with us, so in case it was sort of semi-gushing, we had Band-Aids, you know.
Yeah.
So I remember, and I think it was this house, because we moved fairly often. And I remember, I think that, it, you know, on some of our adventures, basically riding our bikes all over the place, we stumbled across a corner store. And this corner store had a big rack of comics.
Oh.
And so we started to obsess about it. And we would go every week, because I guess it was once a week at that point that the comics would come out. And we started, you know, it's all little kids do. They start with like the Richie Rich, you know. So we started, but we quickly moved on to Archie. And then we very quickly again, because we started to see sort of all this very cool stuff beside the, you know, sort of more childish Richie Rich and Archie, which are great. But just, you know, we were graduating fast because we're sophisticated like that. And, you know, we got into X-Men pretty darn fast. Green Lantern actually a little bit there. Spider-Man, you know, Superman, all the major comic things. So definitely comics have been a very big, graphic novels have been a very big part of my life. And so I would say that's maybe my geek origin story. I like it.
I like the discovery.
Okay, good.
There's a lovely discovery aspect to it, you know? Like I remember we didn't go to the stores when I was a kid. My mom would do kind of the same thing. She'd say, come back when the streetlights are on was our thing, you know?
Same thing.
Yeah. But I just can't imagine, like, you know, discovering comic books at a store when you weren't expecting to. That's I think that's lovely. And I like your nerd origin story, Tamsin.
Okay. Excellent. I don't have a pathetic nerd origin story. I wanted a cool one.
So did you grow, you said you moved around a lot. Did you grow up in Vancouver most or what?
BC, all over BC, actually.
Yeah.
So we bounced around quite a bit. We were on the island. We were on an island further up the coast. We bounced all over the mainland, in downtown, on the North Shore. So we basically just didn't like the grass to grow under our feet at all. So
my mom
was very ambitious and very clever. And so she just sort of she rose through the ranks very fast as a teacher and then administrator and then high-end administrator. So, you know, we bounced with her and got to try out all different areas of BC.
That's fun. Now, with your mom as a teacher and you traveling around, when did you find the acting bug? When did you start acting? Was it young, when you were young?
I was always into dancing and performing and acting. Like, it was just sort of one of those little things, you know, you sort of bouncing around all the time in your basement. And it was something that when I realized we were going to be a little more solid for a few years, I think I finally started taking acting classes. But I think I started, you know, many people are like, oh, I was 3 when I started, or, you know, so I started basically grade 9, I think, is when I kind of went, no, I really, really want to do this.
Right.
So,
Did you do any training after like school? Did you go to college and study theater?
Yeah, I went to SFU in BC, and it's just unfortunate that it wasn't a great program, unfortunately.
Right.
So at the time, I've heard that it's very good now. Yeah. but I took I took a bunch of photography at another school and took a bit of drama there, and then took some at SFU. It just wasn't great, or maybe it just wasn't great for me. You know,
that
could be the problem, is that it wasn't great for me. So, So I did that. And then you sort of, you know, you get out of university, which was mostly just a great backup for acting. And it's, you know, now that I'm writing, it's helped me immensely. So I'm so glad I did it.
Were you writing
through?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Just poking around with scripts and, you know, TV and film and shorts and web and all that kind of stuff, just playing around with that. And it helps, you know, I encourage actually any actors to try all the different faucets of our industry, you know, do a bit of writing, do a bit of producing, do a bit of directing, just so you understand everybody's point of view, do a bit of crew, you know.
Absolutely.
The great directors have all taken acting.
Yeah.
The great producers have all taken acting, you know, and they've figured out just to understand everybody else's point of view, you know, that everybody, you know, we can either have a silly point of view, so they'll know, okay, that's ridiculous, or sometimes it seems silly, but it's actually a big deal, and they get that now, you know, instead of, you know, and same with us, to understand the pressures that they're under, and, you know, so, yeah, so I like doing that, and then I ended up, you know, as every sort of struggling first out of the gate actor does, you do a bit of background. So
of course, everybody.
Always interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. I've done that as well. So, like, after, you know, I'm curious because, you know, there's like New York and LA here in the States and everything. And like, I graduated with a theater degree in Florida and kind of the same thing as you. My husband always calls it was the 20th best theater school in Florida. So it was, you know, we went back, cause my husband went back to speak there once, and it was not the theater school I remembered. It was like really posh and they'd obviously gotten some funding. I was like, where was this school when I went here? But you know, so we didn't know where to go, New York or LA. So where did you go? Did you stay in Vancouver? Did you come to LA? Did you go to Toronto? What guided you?
So basically it wasn't, again, my stories are terrible, so you just have to bear with me. Basically I moved out to Toronto because I was following a boy.
Of course. Okay.
Yeah. So I came out for Valentine's Day and it was a one way flight and I just quite didn't ever leave.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So
I think that's a good story. Well, it worked out for
you. Okay, good. All right, good. And then, you know, opportunities started to come up. I got sent down to New York for a bit, and I was supposed to stay there for 3 weeks. And I went, no, that's not happening. And I stayed for 6 months.
Wow.
Did my degree via correspondence until I just couldn't anymore in the fourth year. And then went back to Vancouver for a bit. At some point, I went down to, I think through the writing and the acting, I went down to L.A., spent about a year and a half there, and went back up through Vancouver, came back through to Toronto. So, yeah, kind of just bouncing around all over, and you take classes wherever you're at, and, you know, a little bit of groundlings in L.A., and, you know, some Acme, and, you know, so you're just kind of poking around with everything.
When were you taking classes at Acme?
Was that New York or was that LA?
I was at Acme for a while in the 2000s.
Oh, no way.
In the aughts. Yeah. So was my husband. And then I've got friends at the Groundlings too. So I Acme was great, but you know, usually the first thought is UCB or the Groundlings. Sometimes people don't know much about Acme.
I know. Acme was fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. I enjoyed it. It's good to hear that we walked on the same ground, my friend.
I know.
So let's talk about Killjoys a bit. So Killjoys follows a trio of bounty hunters, which are called Killjoys, Dutch, Davin, and Johnny.
Yeah.
They work for the REC, the Reclamation Apprehension Coalition, and they work in the Quad, which is a four-planet system. And over the past three seasons, an awesome story arc has developed, which includes secrets from their past and aliens. So I've been a fan of the show since it premiered. So
Oh, good.
Yeah, yeah. Really excited.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. Excited to talk to you about it. So you're the voice of Lucy, which is the AI interface of the spacecraft.
And the fourth Killjoy. I mean, come on.
I have that written down. I was going to definitely give you credit as the fourth.
No.
Well, I think, you know, you have been called that. So did that start with fans?
Really? Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, I think that started with fans, right? Naming you the fourth Killjoy. Did that start like on?
I think you're right. Yeah. That came about in the first season. That's right. Yeah. And they started to call her. Fourth Killjoy. She's on the team.
So she's the AI of the spacecraft, which is owned by Dutch. And you're the transportation, but you're also where the team lives. And I was going to say, most think of Lucy as the fourth Killjoy, which she is. And she's become an integral part of the crew. So here you are. You've done 30 episodes now. Congrats, by the way.
Yeah.
What was the road to getting the role? I know I'm a big fan of Michelle Lovretta. And I know that you did some Lost Girl. So is that how you got the audition for Lucy? How did that, what was your process?
So basically I had just moved back out to Vancouver because all my family's in Vancouver. So I kind of just keep getting drawn back there, even right. though I do prefer a much bigger city, which is why, you know, Chicago, London, New York, Toronto are sort of more my kind of city.
Right.
But you know, you sort of get drawn back there to hang out with the family. And, so I just moved back and I think it was 2 months later. Hi, you have an audition?
That's always how it works.
Like, oh, of course I do. Yeah. So, I guess, and I'm totally paraphrasing, so please no one quote me on this.
Okay.
And also I like to aggrandize over time, so I could be completely making this up by this point, for all I know.
It is legend
now. It sounds good. So what's that?
It's legend now, so you can expand as much
as
you want.
It's legend now, yes. So let's not call it facts. This is all legend now. So basically, I think that I was told that, you know, they did a big search through all of Toronto, and, you know, I wasn't called in because I'm in Vancouver. So, but what had happened was because of Lost Girl, the character that I played on Lost Girl, Janet, they really liked Janet, and they just, I guess, weren't finding anybody who was giving them that same kind of vibe, that same kind of very snarky, sassy, but still a bit of vulnerability and still some fun. So they basically, like I said, as far as I remember, they said, you know, so remember that character? That's really the tone and sort of the vibe that they're looking for. So, you know, bring Janet back and you know, with all of these other personality bits and pieces to her. So that's kind of where it kind of went from. And I just did this all, you know, online.
That's great.
Everything online.
Yeah, that was nice that you didn't have to fly in or anything. You did it.
Yeah. Well, then I ended up flying in to shoot it all in.
Of course.
A month later. Yeah.
Had you done much voice acting before this?
I hadn't done a lot. No, I've done little bits and pieces here and there. It was just sort of something I never really thought about. It just wasn't. You know, you get kind of fixated. I don't know. You know, your story, but. If you've done much voice as well, but you get kind of fixated on being on screen and, you know, on stage and these kinds of things. And you kind of forget there's this whole other really wonderful part of the industry that can be very fulfilling and really fun, as I've really found out. It was a surprise for me. Yeah.
That's really great. I'm not a voice actor myself, but I know people that make, you know, a really good living. Being voice actors, and you're right, it is a whole other part of the industry that people don't know about, and it's like it's got, you know, separate, a whole group of agents and community and everything. So it's, you can make a really good living doing that. So you do your work from a sound booth. I assume that means that you basically not on set and you don't have the luxury of acting with someone in person. So what's your process in the sound booth? You're watching, it's already filmed, right? And you're watching?
Oh yeah. It's almost, and most of the time, 90% of the time, it's completely edited. It's completely put together. There's no green screen. There's no, you know, I've got all the special effects coming at me. So The negative side is, yes, I don't get to, you know, especially for some of the bigger scenes, like the end of the finale of season 2 where Johnny's leaving.
Right.
And I don't actually get to stand in front of Aaron and, you know, work off of him.
Yeah.
But what I do get is, you know, the giant screen that is bigger than Aaron. With amazing sound that is, you know, bigger than any voices we could do, you know, fully surround sound, you know, in this big, dark kind of almost, not a theater, but it's a big, dark room. So it's really beautiful color and sharpness. And all the special effects have been plunked in there. So you're really, you know, kind of immersed in it. There's no crew standing right behind you or watching your eye line because the director's standing, you know, 4 feet away from you. You're completely immersed in it. So there's that kind of positive side of it that I get to really kind of fall right into it. I just don't get the, you know, the actual human interaction. That's sort of the one.
You got the better end of that. You get the better end of that deal as far than the cast,
sure.
Because like the cast is probably working with somebody who's reading it off camera, right?
Yeah, just the first assistant director, who is a really great guy, but he's never taken an acting class in his life,
right.
And he's literally got to be out of the way so he's not in scene, so he's shouting it. Because when I was on set for the Lucy bot, you know, I heard him doing it at one point, and they're like, "Hey, can we get Townsend to come in and do that?" And I was like, "Yes, please."
That's fantastic. What kind of input were you allowed to have on how Lucy developed over the seasons?
Well, it was really fun. The first day that I was there, and basically there was Michelle and then a really wonderful bunch of people, you know, other producers and, you know, people from the network, people from the production company. And they all sat in this, you know, it was one of the larger sound booths, and they all sat on like big couches and stuff. And basically we all just worked together, mostly with Michelle. We all just worked together. And originally Lucy was supposed to be quite maternal.
Oh, interesting.
And so poor Aaron was, you know, originally, especially, I keep saying Aaron because he has the bulk of the conversations with Lucy.
Right.
And they're more developed, and or not developed, they're more complicated rather than just a single, you know, approaching westerly, which I would say to Dutch. You know, I get into conversations with John and into emotional kind of areas with John.
Right.
So, you know, and there's the big crush on John, which, you know, is the big AI. So poor John, or Aaron, is thinking that this is going to be a maternal type AI. And yet when we're sitting there, you know, we're realizing, especially because of, I didn't realize she was supposed to be maternal, or maybe I glossed over it in the audition. I was really focused on making it more like the character from Lost Girl. Yeah, I was more focused on making it like the character who was not maternal in the slightest.
Yeah.
So I really kind of focused on that side. And by the time I got into the booth with everybody sitting there, it really, she really just, you know, Michelle was directing, okay, let's maybe look a little more on that. And, you know, the whole time I'm looking at this, you know, this gorgeous face. I'm looking at Aaron's face on screen going, well, he's very, let me say, what's the word, attractive? so your tone changes a little bit. And it just got flirtier and flirtier until they said, yeah, I think we're going to go with this tone instead. So,
I love stories like that where you're allowed to be creative and the showrunner picks up on that and you get to create it together. That's really nice to hear.
Yeah. Oh, it was pretty amazing. Yeah. It was just to be creative and to be a part of it and to work with them, you know, it's, you know, sometimes it doesn't happen for no fault of anybody else, but they've got a very clear vision. But this was just very cool to, I get to, you know, really sink my teeth into this and have some fun.
That is fantastic. Now, you brought up the Lucy Bot episode. So when did you find out that you were going to actually be in the show in three-dimensional form?
It was a week or two before they started filming. You know, the fans of Killjoys are just the freaking best. They are so lovely. And so I'm not sure if there was already plans for that or not. I have no idea, but I know that the fans definitely influenced that decision, that even if they were sort of maybe, you know, thinking about it, I think that helped to push, or maybe it even, you know, completely was a big part of why they created this episode with Lucy Bot. Because she'd become, you know, for the fans, a very important part, which is, you know, again, I say thank you to all the lovely fans out there. Again, I don't know for sure, but I'm just postulating because that's fun. I'm trying to theories are good. but, you know, I do know that the fans, you know, in whatever capacity made a, you know, definitely made a difference, and they influenced that decision, for sure.
That's cool.
And you know, what kinds of things they wanted to see, like, you know, giving Johnny a kiss. That was a big part of the, you know,
that was very satisfying. And the line, I can't remember what the line is right after where Lucy says, "Thank you for the data," you know, was perfect. It was perfect. She's like, okay, that's how I thought it'd be, or how that's how I didn't think it would be. But now I have the data on that, you know.
That was
fantastic.
And I'm going to hang on to that. That's never being erased.
Yeah.
That's in the memory bank. Yeah.
Was it fun? So was it super fun to be on set as the fourth character?
Oh my gosh. So much fun. Especially, it was really sweet. I came onto set and I sort of ended up running into each of the leads separately. And the only one I hadn't met, I met everybody at the read-through. I knew Hannah from before. I met Hannah before and mm-hmm. Aaron before, but Luke was the one. The first time I met him was at the read-through, mm-hmm. but got onto set. And so as each one of them saw me very separately, have you been on Lucy yet? Have you checked her out? I was like, okay. So then on set, the next one, Suze ran into me.
Have you been
on Lucy yet? Have you checked out the set? Yeah, it was really sweet.
Was it cool to actually see the set of Lucy and you're like, I am that?
Oh gosh, yeah. Yeah. And just sort of looking around going, okay, you know, partly this is what they're, you know, dealing with all the time. But, mm-hmm. you know, this is, you know, where my being kind of resides. Mm-hmm. So it was really cool.
Do you, I'm always curious, this always is interesting to me. Do you read through each script? Do you follow the story on your own show? Are you excited about the story on your own show?
Oh my gosh, yeah. It's such a good show. How could I not be? This
exactly.
is a show I would be watching.
This is the answer I wanted from you, Tamsin. This is the answer I wanted.
Oh, is it? Well, one of my favorite shows is Firefly, and this to me is kind of like, could even be in the same universe. Could, you know.
Yeah, kind of like Bounty Hunters.
Same
you
kind
know,
of vibe.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, Bounty Hunters, and one's, I wouldn't say, they're trying to be Firefly by any means, but it sort of filled that hole for me, very much so.
Yeah. Well, when I first started hearing about Killjoys, it's actually when I start, I don't think my site was up, geekgirlauthority.com was up for very long, but they had just announced, I think, Dark Matter and Killjoys. And I wrote about Killjoys a lot because one thing I really love about science fiction is before the show even starts, if you know about the world building, and there is so much information about the Quad before the show even started, like Westerly and each of the planets, you can read about the nine families. You can know what each planet stands for and who lives there. And so the world was there for you to know about. And then all of a sudden these characters appear in that world that you already like. And it's just good storytelling. It's they did such a great job with that.
Yes, I agree. And to me, it's people, Michelle talks all the time about how she's a big geek and loves doing this kind of stuff. And she really does. Mm-hmm. You know, she fits right in with all the rest of us geeks, you know?
Yeah, that's great.
It
shows.
Yeah, she has so much fun putting it together and geeking out and just kind of going, I wonder if, I've got a show. I can go and do that. I can fully, I can fully explore that. And she does, very interesting. There's social stuff. There's political stuff. There's, mm-hmm. Fun stuff. And there's this just amazing balance of all these things, including adventure and action and romance and friendship. Even just a simple thing is friendship, really realized in this show, which I so enjoy. Yeah.
And it's a good balance with, humor. Like you mentioned Firefly and it's there's family involved in Killjoys, just like in Firefly, even in Dark Matter, that you can tell watching a show, to me, I think you can tell that is an ensemble that likes each other and they work so well together that when they do have emotional ups and downs, you really go on that ride with them. And when they make fun of each other, or make each other laugh, you laugh out loud with them. You get very invested. And I feel that way.
Yeah.
I think that's why your fans are, that you have such, strong fans is because they're going on the journey with the ensemble of the show, with what you guys are creating, So it's great.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, I love that show. Why do you think Lucy resonates so much with fans, if you were to take a guess? And that's a tough question, but...
I think that there's... I think that loyalty, she's so very loyal.
Yeah.
I think it's a big thing. I think that, so many things seem to just boil down to relationships. Mm-hmm. And the fact that she has loyalty for, you know, all her humans. Mm-hmm. But she has, you know, friendships mm-hmm. with two of them, and she has love for another one. And I think that in whatever capacity, you know, you always hear love is love. And I think that sometimes people really respond when they see love in kind of a different way.
Right.
And it kind of opens up people's minds a little bit. And that doesn't mean, you know, poor Aaron, you know, having to, he's not, you know, rubbing up against the ship or anything. But, you know, I mean, just the fact that there's a love, whether it's romantic love mm-hmm. or, you know, in the vein of loyalty or friendship or whatever it is, mm-hmm. I think that that, you know, I think that that's just going to resonate with anybody.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
Because I think she feels, yeah. And she also has love with no agenda, and there's no guile. She's very blunt and
yeah.
open and, you know, clear about it, because she has no way to be except honest.
Do you ever have conversations with Michelle, you know, since it is an AI and AIs, you know, are what I would think are learning with each experience? Do you think there's been a big Lucy growth from when we first met her to now, of like how she's learning about, like you're saying, love and emotions and stuff like that? Do you think there's a large arc there for her?
Yeah, well, it's interesting because after Lucy goes back from, or not goes back, because it was just an app for the Lucy bot.
Mm-hmm.
But I found that even they didn't change my voice. They actually put a lighter filter on it.
Interesting.
Yeah, I really noticed that fairly quickly. I was like, oh, she sounds more human. Like, she sounds more like me. She
right.
sounds more human.
Oh, I love little things like that. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah, and so that was very interesting. And I found that Lucy has got, you know, the same kind of, you know, snarky and her quirky personality, but she's got more subtlety.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She seems to be more aware of emotions. Like, she can see when John's not, you know, happy or, you know, when he's, you know, she can sort of, I think she's catching expressions
mm-hmm.
and body language a lot more now.
Oh gosh, that's so neat. I love it. And that makes sense. That's what an AI would do, is there, you know, I would think then the program is to constantly be learning from experiences. And
yeah. And when she actually got to touch them and be standing right next to them and to see how they move and how they reacted to her.
Yeah.
I think it was a very big deal.
Yeah. And then she sacrificed herself for him, for them, excuse me, you know, to save them. That was a really good episode. That was a really fun episode.
Yeah, it was really fun.
Yeah. So I saw on Twitter that you've gone to a couple of cons recently. What do you think? Are you having fun? Do you like con culture?
Oh, my God, they're the best.
Yes.
They're the best.
I love cons.
That's my true geek comes out.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's cool for me to say that or not. I don't care.
No, it's totally cool.
So much fun.
So are you doing Killjoys panels? Or are you just doing appearances? What have you been doing at the cons?
Each one is different. Mm-hmm. A couple of them, we did all panels, and a couple, it was a little bit of paneling, a lot of hanging out and talking to the fans. So mm-hmm. I like having sort of a bit of both, where you get to sit in front of a big crowd and you know, answer questions and this kind of thing. But also, I really like just sitting and chatting with fans and being in the middle of it. Like the one I was just at North Carolina, you know, stormtroopers come walking up to you. You're like, oh my God! It's the best! And you get to see and ask them questions about how they're creating things and making their characters, putting their characters together, and just the passion and the drive and the, you know, commitment to these things is amazing. I mean, I have somebody doing all that for me.
I'm always impressed. You know, the biggest con I go to every year is this one called Dragon Con in Atlanta.
Oh, my God. In Atlanta?
Yeah, it's so fun. It's one of the biggest in the world. Like, San Diego Comic Con is large, and it's very studio-driven, as you know, where Dragon Con in Atlanta, they do get, like, I'd say four or five huge shows to come out there. You know, like this year, the big show was Winona Earp, and then there was a BSG reunion and stuff like that. But it is that show that Dragon Con is about, I'd say 60 to 70% cosplay. And it's, I'd say it's,
wow.
I would tell families, this is an adult con. This is not one to bring your children. There's a lot of partying going
Got
on.
It.
It's four hotels. Three of them are attached by sky bridges and people are just going. And I used to go as a fan, but now I work. So it's like, I don't get to do the fun stuff anymore, but I always make sure I park myself somewhere just because, you know, some people leave Dragon Con and they immediately start working on their costume for the next year. Or they're 5 days.
Wow.
And it's a lot of artisan work. It's beautiful. It's like what you were saying about the stormtroopers. It's like they put a lot of work into it and a lot of thought. And it's so fun to see, you know. And when shows like Killjoys, when you guys come out and talk to your fans and not have a barrier between them, because I've interviewed some people where it's just like, you're a fan and an interviewer and I am the actor kind of thing. And it's like, fine, I get it, whatever.
Right.
This is just we're going to do the interview. And then I've talked to people on shows, you know, like this conversation we're having, where you guys want to be here and you want to talk to people and you create this family. So you guys have created a Killjoys family that are going to be with you for the next two seasons. There's going to be no drop off with that at all. If anything, you know, what I love, you know, nowadays, you know, you can just binge. So people are going to continue to catch up to like fourth season, fifth season. Like I just caught up on season three because I had a crazy summer. So I got to binge season three, like whatever week the season finale aired, I watched the whole season that week. And it was just so fun because it was like, you know, 10 hours of just awesomeness, you know. I didn't have to. It's so nice when you don't have to wait a week.
No kidding.
Do you?
Go ahead. No, I was just going to say without the fans, we wouldn't have a job.
Yeah.
So I think it's very important to, sit down and talk to the people that are supporting your livelihood and you know, your show and who are making it happen.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know. That's just me though. Like I don't put down anybody who, is got a different attitude about it. That's just my attitude.
No, so. I think it's a good
attitude.
I mean, you know, especially with science fiction and a lot of the genre shows in general, there's something that fans identify with. You know, it's very important to them. You know, that's how I am with it. Science fiction and genre I love since I was a kid. And like I've said it a couple times already, the escapism quality is what I wanted when I was a kid. And now it's just very joyful to me. And to like when I binged Killjoys this season, it was just like, you know, my husband was out of town and I'm just watching all these shows and I couldn't have been happier. So that's awesome. I love that you're enjoying the cons. Do you get the same questions about Lucy, or do you get people saying the same thing about Lucy to you?
I probably, I don't really remember because I enjoy talking about her and I enjoy, you know, I'm also an actor. I get to talk about myself and my character. So I'm really happy all the time.
That's fantastic.
I don't mind saying and like I said, I probably do. I don't really remember because it's also, You know, talking to you, I'm going to have sort of a different take on it because you have a different sort of attitude about things. Meanwhile, somebody else, will have a different, so you're always sort of, and you're remembering other stories and other things. So it's always different, you know?
Yeah. Do you get to, is it nice to be able to spend some time with other cast members of the show that you don't usually get to hang out with because you're in the sound booth?
Oh gosh, we do all the time. Tom and I really like trying to do cons together.
Yeah. Tom plays Pri.
Yeah, we do a lot of cons together.
Correct.
Tom plays Pri, the unbelievably awesome Pri.
He's amazing. He's an amazing character.
And, you know, various hang out with Sean and Morgan and Rob and, so that's Alvis, Fancy Lee, Klein.
Nice.
You just end up, we're all in Toronto and we just like doing what we're doing. So we all end up kind of hanging out and chatting.
Cool. When does production for season four start?
Let me see. I think it's starting November, possibly. It might be pushed because I think, again, please don't quote me. Don't quote anything I'm saying because I really don't know. And I end up making up stuff without meaning to.
All rumors started by Tamsin McDonough.
I'm great at starting rumors inadvertently most of the time. But I think because I'm fairly certain they're going to shoot all 20 episodes at once again, please don't quote me, but it would make sense to shoot them all at the same time. And then, start doing all the posts on them at the same time. So they may push production a little bit because they're trying to do them all. I don't know.
That's interesting.
My answer to your question is I have no idea.
You have no idea. It's sometime within the next year.
Exactly. That's where we're at.
Tamsin, so thank you so much for taking some time to talk with me today on I Love Lucy Day. This has been a really lovely conversation.
No, this has been great. I appreciate the opportunity to chit-chat with you.
Yeah. And where can we find you on the social media places?
I'm most often found on Twitter, at Red Tamsin, REDTAMSEN. I'm trying to get better at Instagram, at Red Tamsin again. And I pretend to be on Facebook, but it's so rare. Just go Instagram and Twitter.
Yeah. You sound like I'm the same way. Like Twitter, I'll definitely tweet every day, but on Instagram, it's just like, every once in a while, I'll be like, oh yeah, I have an Instagram account. I need to do something.
I should really put a picture up at some point. Yeah.
That's fantastic. So Tamsin McDonagh, is that an Irish name or a Scottish name?
I believe it's Irish because it's Mick, but we are Irish.
Oh, it's
Scottish,
not Mac,
English,
it's Mick.
And German.
Yeah.
It's Mick. Yeah. We're a tall family, which is where I think the German comes in. But,
okay. Well,
Irish,
I'm going to have to,
and a bit of German.
I'll have to interrupt you here. When you say tall as a female, what do you mean tall?
Oh, so it's sounding like you're quite tall. And
yes.
You're
I'm a giant.
Okay,
I am
right.
6 feet tall. I'm a big girl. I'm very tall.
Ah, wow. I'm impressed and jealous. So I'm only, compared to you, I'm only 5'9 and a half just over 5'9.
I accept your tallness.
My sisters are 5'8. My brothers are 6'3 and 6'5, something like that.
Oh, you do have a tall family.
Yeah. So it's tall. And then my poor dad, I think he's 5'9.
Well, it's interesting what you said.
So we got all the... Yeah, we're the average guy height, but we're all overgrown.
I love it.
Well, you got 6 feet.
Yeah, and I'm the shortest in my family. We're mostly women. Like, I'm 6 feet.
No,
my sister's
really tall.
6'1". I have a sister who's 6'3". My brother is 6'9". Yeah, so we're...
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, but it's kind of like what you just said. Like, we're... my ancestry is mostly Irish. You know, Kearns is an Irish name.
Okay.
But, you know, we try to figure out where did the height come from. And because we're mostly Irish-Hungarian, but my mom, there's like legend in her family of a German grandmother who had to make her own shoes because her feet were so big and had to make her own clothes because she was so tall. So it sounds like our height may come from this German ancestor.
It was a Viking,
exactly.
In your family.
It's somewhere in there for sure.
Yeah.
Just a side question. I'm just curious because... I've always had problems, especially in theater and doing plays with this. Have you gone up against problems with your height when trying to do shows and stuff?
Yeah. Just because, you know, basically I'm the height of the average dude. So,
exactly.
And then the pigeon heels it's visually for some people that don't enjoy it and, you know, other people don't care. You know, you look at the West Wing and so many of the women on that were very tall and a lot of redheads too.
But
I do find a lot of not always, but a lot of the time is that when they say, when I'm doing the audition, they'll say, okay, so say your name and your height. I'm like, oh.
I know. I feel the same way. It's like, do I say 5'11 or do I say 6 feet? Because 6 feet, I went to an audition one time and they're like, please slit your name. And they had already started the camera and the camera was on a stand and I guess they didn't want to move it. And I slated and everything. And they're like, can you take your heels off? And I was like, I'm not wearing heels. And then they just got really quiet. And I just looked at them. I said, do you want me to leave? You know, because they wouldn't say anything because it was for a commercial.
Oh, poor thing.
You know, what I learned, though? What I learned was because I always, you know, in my head, when I was younger, I'd make a great ingenue. But what I learned is, no, Audrey, you make great character roles. And then I found out how in love I am with character roles. They're just more fun.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, exactly. And that's where, you know, and you look at Sigourney Weaver and Charlize Theron and Nicole Kidman. I mean, these are women who are, you know, at least 5'10", I believe.
Yeah.
and, you know, doing wonderful work with Allison Janney. I mean, talk about a character actress. Like, I want her career.
Oh, I'd love her career.
I'm all over that career.
She's amazing.
And she's 6'1", I think.
Yeah, she's
like, that,
she's like one person where I know, because I've, you know, being in LA, I'm sure it's probably the same in Toronto and stuff. Every once in a while you're at the grocery store and you're like, oh, there's, you know, so-and-so. And I saw Nicole Kidman at the movies once. I was like, okay, I'm about an inch taller than her. But Allison Janney is the one person where I was just like, oh, she is tall. She is as tall as me. And she's so talented. She's so good.
Oh, my gosh.
And then I remember you mentioned the West Wing, and she was leaving the show, I think, and they were bringing Kristen Chenoweth in. And I loved it because she's so tiny. They actually had a scene of them walking down the hall talking about their height. And I was just like, I love whoever wrote this scene. It's absolutely fantastic.
And they didn't seem to care that the women were tall and some of the dudes weren't. Some of the dudes weren't, because this is, you know, and again, and I, you know, I'm not trying to, you know, take, this is sort of a minor side of diversity, but it's still a side of diversity that women can be taller than men. And it's not a problem for most, you know, for many people.
So I agree with you.
It's nice to see.
Especially on stage, I think it's harder for tall women if you're trying to have a career on stage, because, you know, say you go through a whole callback, you're going through callbacks and they get, you know, and then they start doing the matching on stage, you know, like who's going to look good. And I would always make it to the end. I'd always make it to the end, and I'd walk out and I'd see the men who had made it that far. And I was like, oh, I'm not going to get this role, because they don't want to look at a woman that's taller than a guy. It's not, it doesn't look right to them. And that's, I think, on stage where I finally said, wait a minute, I should be the blue fairy, or I should be, you know, I should be something different. And then it turned out to be more fun. So,
well, that's, I read somewhere, and I think I read somewhere again, could have drunk it up. but I think that Sigourney Weaver said because of her height, she ended up getting mostly hooker roles.
Interesting.
When she was growing up.
Yeah.
When she was sort of starting her career, and her hair was more reddish. And so I'm thinking, you know, and I'm certainly nowhere near your height or her height. But I do kind of get lumped into that tall stick syndrome.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm a redhead. I've done lots of hooker roles.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
If I get Sigourney Weaver's career, I will be a happy camper.
Exactly. Exactly. I have actually played a hooker. So there you go. I proved your theory.
Yeah. Yep, there we go. All right. Let's start asking all the chicks. Let's all chicks.
Tamten, this has been such a great Sunday afternoon conversation. Thank you so much.
No kidding. That's exactly what it is. A great Sunday afternoon conversation.
Absolutely. And I wish you the best. I can't wait for 2018 for the show to come back, and I will always be looking for stuff that you're working on Twitter.
Oh,
for sure.
Thanks so much, and let me know what stuff you're working on.
I will. I'll tweet you. I'll tweet you, and then you'll find me on your doorstep. You won't find me on your doorstep. Don't worry. That was just a bad joke. I just ended this podcast on a really bad joke, but
that's what I've been doing the entire time. So you were just going with my flow. Yeah.
Exactly. It was the energy. It was the energy. All right, Tamten, you take care, and I'll talk to you later. All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks so much.
Supplicants, you may now rise. The merciful Odd has chosen to spare you. Please exit the internet to your left.